Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Hey, it's Latif from Radiolab. Our goal with each episode is to make you think, how did I live this long and not know that? Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know. Listen wherever you get podcasts.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. One other thing about our coverage of the debate tonight. We have a poll question right now on our politics website. It's freecountry.org. We are asking, will you listen to the debate for entertainment value, to help you choose a candidate, or for some other reason? And if it's for some other reason, we have a comments page for you to explain it. But the question is, will you listen to the debate tonight, A, for entertainment value, B, to help you choose a candidate, or C, for some other reason? And if it's another reason, we have a comments page for you to explain it. Select your answer at our politics website, itsafreecountry.org. We are a month into the new school year. The education documentary Waiting for Superman is in the theaters, and the city is about to embark on an experiment to rapidly boost student performance in more than 30 schools across the five boroughs. Teachers, students, families, and reformers and the country are facing the question, how do we fix our public schools? So WNYC's education reporter Beth Vertig is collaborating with Anna Phillips and Maura Walls from GothamSchools.org to explore this. They have a new project called The Big Fix. They'll be following three public high schools over one school year while the city uses millions of federal dollars to either resuscitate the schools or shut them down and open new ones. And we have a poll question on that on WNYC.org's Big Fix page. Beth and colleagues are asking the question, should struggling schools be shut down or changed from the inside? So answer and, of course, comment and explain. On WNYC.org, you'll see the page for the Big Fix Education Project, and we have a question. Should struggling schools be shut down or changed from the inside? And with us now to talk about the project and the three schools they're focusing on, WNYC education reporter Beth Vertig and Gotham Schools reporters Anna Phillips and Maura Walls. Hi.
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 So tell us about the three schools you'll be following and what they're like right now. Beth, tell us about the Chelsea Career and Technical Education High School in Soho.
Well, Chelsea High, which, as you said, is actually in Soho, is among 11 schools that are getting these federal school improvement grants. And there's going to be over 30 schools eventually getting them, but 11 were chosen so far for the mildest form of fix, which the city calls transformation. They could use this money to shut down the schools and replace them with charters, or for a more dramatic type of turnaround where they fire half their teachers. But this is a transformation approach in which they're saying, we have faith in the leadership for the most part. So many of these schools kept their principals or got new principals, but they can keep their teachers. And the money is used to pretty much extend the school day or do some professional development. And so Chelsea, which is a former vocational school, now called a career and technical education school, is the type of school that gets kids from all over the city who probably didn't get their first choice of high school. Some of them may have wanted the program there, which they have a computer networking type of program with Cisco. So they might have been interested in that, but a lot of the kids are just, you know, they weren't stellar academic kids. They didn't get into the more selective or theme schools. They maybe wanted to be in Manhattan, and they wound up at Chelsea. And over the years, the graduation rate had fallen to about 50% in 4 years, because it's harder now to get a high school diploma. It's no longer the easy way out, vocational school. All vocational schools, career technical education schools now have to have the higher diploma standards.
So the big fix that they're attempting at Chelsea is?
They're going to have a longer school day. The principal, Brian Rosenblum, already started this. They got almost $1 million for their grant, almost $1 million for each of the 3 years. And in a school where the budget the principal controls is about $4 million. That's a 25% increase. Mm. So he's got teachers working the equivalent of 10-hour days most days, at least. They come in at 8 o'clock in the morning and half hour early for grappling with what they're going to do with their lesson plans together. They stay an extra eighth period. All kids have to stay an extra eighth period, pretty much everyone except some seniors who may be on target. And they program the kids to take classes where they may be missing some, or they have to make up classes, or they're just going to get some extra support or maybe advanced credit, advanced Regents classes.
So more money, more support, longer school day at Chelsea. Anna Phillips, tell us about the Christopher Columbus High School in the Bronx.
Sure. So Christopher Columbus is sort of one of the schools the city does not have a whole lot of faith in. It is not a transformation school. It is one of 23 turnaround schools, which means that next year it could either be shut down and replaced with a charter school, or it could lose half of its staff, or it could be, you know, closed and replaced with a typical district school. It was once a very large traditional high school, brought in a lot of kids from the neighborhood. Now it's smaller. It's about 1,200 kids. It's just in the basement and the first floor of its building. It's with four other schools in there, so it's kind of packed. And now it's pulling kids from all over the city, and they're not, again, not going to the specialized high school kind of kids. They are new to this country. 25% of its population does not speak English. 25% is in special education. So it's a very struggling school.
And it's one of the 19 schools the city had tried to close last year and couldn't until because it was blocked by the teachers union.
Exactly.
So why throw money at that school and threaten this school?
Well, it's sort of a question of what does the city believe in. The city believes that the transformation schools have shown improvement over the last couple of years. They believe in the leadership there and the principals there. They have decided, based on, they say, Columbus's graduation rate and its credit accumulation rate, they just don't believe the school can get better. And its principal's been there for about 8 years already, and I guess they don't believe that she can do that.
And Maura, you'll be following the big fix at the William E. Grady Career and Technical Education High School in Brooklyn.
Right. And Grady is like Chelsea in that it's one of the transformation schools. It's a school that has shown progress over the past couple of years. And so the city said, okay, rather than doing any one of the more severe solutions like shutting the school down or replacing half of its staff, we're going to give the school more money and let them experiment with extended day and different types of enrichment programs and things like that. The difference between Grady and Chelsea, though, is that Chelsea's principal kept his job last year. He had been there only for about 3 years.
This is now his third year.
Right. And so the city actually had to apply for a waiver from the federal government to allow him to stay in the school because they liked the progress that he had shown in the school already. The federal guidelines that go along with the money that they're receiving actually require the city to replace the principals. And so that's what happened at Grady. So Grady has a brand new principal this year. Grady's graduation rate had dipped to about 40% 3 years ago. But in the past 3 years, it's climbed about 9 percentage points. So last year, it was about 49%. So this year, they have a new principal coming in. She was actually a principal at another one of these schools that is on the city's revamp list, a much larger one called Franklin Delano Roosevelt. So she sort of has experience in struggling schools. The city said that they had liked the progress that she had made at FDR, and so they reassigned her to Grady, which is actually where she used to be a teacher.
So you said there's federal money coming in that requires that an individual school in New York City change its principal?
Yes, that's right. And actually, it's an interesting what the city has done with those rules. The rules initially seemed quite straightforward. The city had to replace the principal in order to get this money, which is $2 million a year for up to 3 years. What the city has done is because there were a couple of principals that they really liked and they said, we're making progress in these struggling schools. And so they decided to keep a few of them. So like Principal Rosenblum at Chelsea, they kept him on. It was principals who had been at their schools for under 3 years. They were able to keep in their positions. At a couple of other schools, they kept the old principal on, but they created a new position for him. So there's mentor principals who are staying on with a new acting principal. So there's sort of two principals at a school.
Wow. And is that money from the Race to the Top program that we've heard so much about, or is it a different stream of federal money?
It's a different stream of federal money.
So, yeah. Beth, here are three different high schools all going for a big fix in three different ways, and the three of you are going to follow these three schools to see how they compare?
Exactly. You know, what Maura and I are doing is pretty similar. We're following schools that are getting extra federal funds to improve and looking at what they do with that money, what sort of solutions they try, if the solutions they're trying have been studied elsewhere, and whether they've proven success in other places. But the reason that Anna is looking at Columbus High is because it's really a school left behind. It may get these federal funds, it's supposed to, in the future for something else, but not to stay in its current, you know, system the way it is right now. The city wants to close it and create something else there. But in the meantime, it's lagging. It's not going to get any support for this school year. And Anna's been discovering some really interesting contrasts with what we've been seeing at the schools where, as I said, in Chelsea's case, it's a 25% budget increase. They're getting loaded with resources at a time when other schools are cutting their budgets. And so the kids who are at Columbus now are really facing a hard time.
Right. So Columbus has, you know, a freshman class of 300 kids who are coming into a school they're told is going to be closed. And the school has lost over $1 million just from last year to this year. They had to lay off over 30 teachers because they have a very experienced staff. So they have very high salaries they've got to cover. And they're having a very hard time just getting bodies into classrooms. It's, you know, kids are sitting in classrooms, some of them, you know, a month into the school year where you're not sure who your teacher is going to be that day.
They had to cut classes, you said.
Yeah, there were a couple of instances where, like, you know, for example, chemistry has been cut back because they just don't have enough teachers, or there are some classes that just don't have a full-time assigned teacher to that subject.
So are the mayor and the Department of Education literally hoping for this school to fail and setting up conditions for the failure of the school, which means the failure of individual students?
I wouldn't say they hope for any school to fail, you know, but they certainly already believe it is a failing school, and they don't believe they should be putting any more money into it, even though there are children in this building right now.
When you said that they have many high-paid teachers, so a lot of that senior staff was laid off to save money, the principal has that flexibility. They can just lay off, and I presume that doesn't mean they completely lose their job as New York City public school teachers, but they can say, you no longer teach here, you no longer teach here, and you no longer teach here, because you're an experienced teacher who's commanding a large salary. I want to hire 6 younger, inexperienced teachers in your place.
Well, what actually happened is that it's not that they laid off the most senior people. It's that because they have so many senior people, the amount of money they're given just doesn't stretch as far. So because of that, they've got to lay off more teachers. So if they had all these, you know, inexperienced younger teachers, they could have kept more of them on staff and maybe not lost 30 of them.
What happens to those teachers?
The ones who get laid off? Well, actually, some of them have found jobs in the same building at other schools in that building. So if you walk into the lunchroom, for example, you know, Joe over there used to be a Columbus teacher, and he's now at Astor Collegiate or something.
Yeah, they have small schools in that building. And one of the ironies is, so if a kid is at Columbus and can't take chemistry, Anna, they can't just go to one of those other small schools and take chemistry.
No, there's not a whole lot of integration like that.
Yeah, because Bloomberg has really made it a principal-driven system now, where principals are CEOs of their buildings and they each are in charge, and there's no longer these regions or districts that would, you know, spread the resources and control the schools. He wants the principals in charge.
More of the waiting for Superman and Obama race to the top models of improving education focus on expanded learning time, longer school day and school year. You're talking about that coming to a couple of these schools, and trying to get a great teacher in every classroom through new forms of teacher accountability. Is there a new form of teacher accountability also being tried here to grade the teacher's performance?
Yes and no. There are definitely new forms of trying to get good teachers into classrooms going on. So one of the things that both Chelsea and Grady are doing is they've hired what are called master teachers, which is teachers who spend an extra 100 hours in the classroom and in turn get a 30% bonus, which, you know, for an experienced teacher could be quite a bit. Then also Grady has also hired a sort of another new form of teacher, which is called a turnaround teacher, which is they're working, you know, again, they're also working extra hours, not as many extra hours as the master teachers, but then they're also getting a 15% performance bonus. Those teachers have to maintain a highly effective rating under the state's new evaluation system, and so that is something that is very new. You know, having this bonus that's tied to their rating and the teacher evaluations is brand new for New York City.
And they're supposed to be working with the other teachers to help them on professional development. And the schools are also bringing in, at least in Chelsea's case, they're spending some of their extra money on bringing in outside professional development groups to help train the teachers.
All right. 3 New York City public high schools trying to undergo big fixes in different ways. And WNYC education reporter Beth Fertig, in conjunction with Gotham Schools reporters Anna Phillips and Maura Walls, We'll be following these three high schools all year, Chelsea, Grady, and Columbus, on the big fix page of WNYC.org. Beth, how can people follow your work?
Well, they can go online, of course. They can. We encourage them to send comments to WNYC and to GothamSchools.org. Just check it out. Tell people about it. We want to know what you're thinking, and we want your thoughts on what is going to fix education.
Thanks. Good luck with the project. We'll check in with you during the school year.
Thanks.
Brian Lehrer and WNYC. We have the historian and religion writer Karen Armstrong coming up next. She's in New York for an appearance tonight, and we're thrilled that she's coming into our studio right after this.